What a weekend in the National Hockey League, which means we're right back at it on this Monday. Get ready once again for the fastest 2 hours in hockey. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. Oh my gosh, where do we begin? Also, around the league in our national hour, we got Jets talk.
Yeah, we do.
We've got Montreal Canadiens talk.
Mm-hmm. Tom Wilson talk.
We got a ton of it, Sammy. A ton of it. In the meantime, let's focus on our Leaf Hour edition of our program. And the Leafs do not get the sweep. No brooms on the weekend, which means game five tomorrow night. JB, we'll start with you in terms of the thought process of missing out a chance to have a week off.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the most disappointing part outside of the OT goal going in is got to be that start, eh? Like, that first period, I think they were, chances were like 9-1 for Ottawa. There was long stretches there where it looked like, you know, the Leafs didn't come out with the intent. All this talk about, can they step on the throat of an opponent and just put them away once and for all? Not even a sniff of that in the first period.
What are you guys looking at me for?
Should we be surprised, though, because Leafs have found a way to have these peaks and valleys throughout 60 minutes for a very long period of time, and yet somehow, some way they've managed, especially down the stretch, to come out on top? Like, this is just Craig Berube type of hockey right now that we watch consistently.
Yeah, I'll say the should we be surprised part is yes, we should be surprised. You know, we thought we all we've talked about is it different, right? That's the whole conversation this year. Is it different? And then we unequivocally on so many occasions said yes. And then when it was the same, I think it was surprised.
Okay, so after every Leaf game, I go on with Sportsnet Central. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ivanka and Ken Saturday night, and one of the questions came to me was, "Is the seed
here
of,
we go.
Is this hey, don't shake your head and bury it in your
here
hand right
we
now."
Go.
They asked me if there's a seed of doubt that's been planted, so I'm asking you, Sammy, head of Leaf Nation.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you are Leaf Nation.
It would have been really nice to add one to the win ledger in facing elimination instead of another one in the loss ledger when I'm facing elimination for these guys. I mean,
so what is it? 1-11?
12.
1-12.
1-12 after Saturday.
And if you go back to the 2013 series, if you want, they're 1-13 in potential series clinching
games.
Or
you can move on.
You really wish it was done. And like you said, the week's rest, having the ability to get a bunch of practices in, your goalie who's been injured your captain who's been in, all this, a week's rest would have been fantastic. And everybody in their mother, including Kipper, wants, I can tell by looking at him, wants to push this narrative of...
What'd you do?
Listen, because he's like, I went on with Ken and Ivanka, and they said they're going to blow it. Are they going to blow it, Sammy?
That was their... they asked the question, I answered
it. You relayed it to me, pal.
He's asking if the seed has been planted.
Yes.
And I will say the soil has been tilled,
yes.
Seed in, fertilized, and watered. It's been planted,
listen,
yes.
You can't lose four in a row without losing one, okay? Sure, the seed's been planted. But you have to think, I am nowhere close to... Oh my God, I'm scared.
Okay.
But if they come home on Tuesday night, tomorrow, I guess, right? And great, an extra day. Like, thanks, NHL.
Need to really sit
perfect
on this
perfect timing for the ghosts talk for 2 days. But if they come home and they look shaky and they lose, then it's full-blown five-alarm fire. That's when it goes from I'm a little, a little tepid towards it to I am full-on panicking and I don't know if I'll be able to watch. That's what we'll get to.
Even game six.
It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on.
Sorry, guys.
Oh no, no,
I love
no.
How he turned
listen,
the page
no. We're right. Not turning the page.
Okay,
we're just gonna we're spreading it out
okay.
Now.
This
we're
is not, my
this is long from being over this
okay,
conversation.
Okay.
Let's just get Craig Berube's thoughts on Saturday night and the difference between winning and losing.
Well, I think special teams. We gave up a PP goal for them and a shorty against our PP, but and we had the opportunities with the 4-minute and overtime. Didn't get it done.
So it's pretty simple breakdown, and I actually think there's something to it in terms of the special teams. Like, you know, they've been scoring on their power play. They get one in overtime. They have no Tavares. It looks terrible. They hit the post. They hit the knob of Ulmer's stick on that power play. I mean, it's the margins are so thin. I mean, it's so hard. Like, if you were to zoom out and not have the Toronto Maple Leafs involved in this series, like, there is no worries about that loss at all.
Mm-hmm.
They battled back twice in that game. They
defended
tied it late,
like crazy.
Defended hard, were the way better team for the majority of it, had chances in overtime, seeing eye shot from the point. You're not going to win 3 straight in overtime, blah, 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 all this stuff. But the fact of the matter is,
it's the Leafs.
Exactly. So, carry on.
Berube.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's go to Tavares. Let's go to Tavares first, okay?
Yeah.
And because he didn't mention the power play, mm-hmm. and one that did not include a familiar look of Tavares.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the hit and then having him not there on the power play?
Yeah. Thoughts on the hit are it's a greasy play. He definitely tries to give him an extra pop. It hits him in the head. I don't think we're going to start suspending people for plays like this. I don't like it at all, but I think it's at least a penalty. And unfortunately, the result of it with Tavares not on that power play, now Mitch isn't handling the puck at the top. Now everything is stretched back towards the blue line and Morgan's trying to figure out which flank guy to give it to. Nothing's downhill towards the net. It looked so much worse the second you got away from the 5-man power play. I do think that them giving up the shorthanded goal earlier in the game makes them go to Morgan rather than, say, putting Bobby McMahon in Tavares' spot. And, yeah.
That bothers me.
Yeah.
That bothers me. But what did you think of the hit first? And then we'll go back.
Okay.
I, you know, it was dirty play. But I'm a hockey fan. I've watched this enough. I think there's two things you can do in overtime to get a penalty, and it's shoot the puck over the glass or high stick a guy. Like I've kind of subscribed to that. It's a bad play. Is it a penalty for sure? But like, do I understand that it wasn't called? I do.
Yeah.
I hate to admit that, and Leaf fans probably hate to hear it, but they don't call that stuff a lot in overtime.
It's very rare that a hit like that doesn't include more force.
You got him right in the button.
But he's standing still. He's almost at a standstill. He just leans at the last second. It's not like he's skating into Tavares. It's not like it's almost as if Tavares has no idea where he is, and it almost comes off as incidental contact, almost.
I
don't agree.
It wasn't incidental.
No, it wasn't, because at the last second, you're committed to your spot,
yeah.
And you're not going to give Tavares a free lane to go in and cut him off.
Okay.
And that's all I really saw.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't agree. Tavares, to me, is, you know,
skating into him.
Yeah, he's skating into and around him. But typically, people who do, when you have the puck, people can't deliver a forceful blow to your chin.
Well,
it's typically against the rules. It's a lot easier to sell it when you're kind
of standing still and a guy skates into your shoulder with just the last second of, hey, listen, if he's going to hit me, I'm going to brace myself anyways.
I get that's how Zub is playing it off, is that it's just weird
it worked, just running into contact.
It worked. It's the same thing as Bennett on Marchand the year ago where you go, it worked. I get why it works. Doesn't make it okay or clean.
No, for sure.
Yeah, I mean... I would love it to be a penalty. I would love a fine. I would love a mention of one of these plays. Like
anything.
A cross check in the mouth goes unfined, an elbow to the mouth unfined. Like, you'd love a mention of it by the league, but playoff hockey, I guess. So.
Okay. Before we get into my thoughts on the power play, mm-hmm. Just the mere fact that It really bothers me when I continue to watch guys get pulled off for concussion protocol, and then I've watched hits like that in other instances in previous Stanley Cup playoffs or even regular season where a guy does not come off.
Right.
And I'm going, all right, you're in a visiting building. I don't know who the doctors are. Are they independent? Do they fly them in? Do they live in Ottawa? Are they regular contributors to the Ottawa Senators? Is it a lot easier to pull a visiting player off on a protocol than it is if it was Brady Tkachuk who took the same hit? Would he have been pulled off? Would he have been missing an integral part of a game that could have got you out of the first round?
Yeah.
I don't know the answers to that. But all I know is sometimes they disappear, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. It is really subjective and random, and we don't have a lot of clarity as fans about what's happening. You know, is Carrier, same thing, he sat on the bench after the Wilson hit for a long time, and then he went.
Tavares made it abundantly clear he was fine. He was pulled off today. He talked about it, that I was told to get off the bench.
Hmm.
So, yeah, like, I mean, I remember one time this year, Holmberg literally went face first into the boards, and we came in here the next day, and I was like, is there a spotter out there, or like, what happened?
So, gone to the snack bar.
I mean, listen, Kip.
Honestly.
Gone to take a leak.
I got to tell you, I really wasn't thinking a whole lot about this in that way. But now I'm like,
now you're mad
really
about it.
Yeah. Like now, like the way, like I'm immediately pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, but it's, they just pulled him off for,
they just pulled him off.
Yeah. 6 minutes of game time. He missed a 4 minute power play.
I get it. Like, you know, but I just don't see it every time, you know, and it's just kind of pisses me off a little bit that it's, I don't know. I mean, he was gone at the most important time when they needed him the most.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it was a horrific look without him. I'm sorry. And I'm going to get back to your point on, you know, were they gun shy about the shorthanded goal here that they put Morgan Riley? And I'm like, you can't have five forwards for over half a season and then be gun shy the one time.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Morgan should never have touched the light of day on that power play. I am bringing in a fifth forward, either McMahon or Pacioretty, before I go to Morgan Riley on the 4 minute power play.
Yeah.
So you think it was because, or like you're theorizing was because they gave up the shorty and they're concerned about that in overtime?
I think it's overtime. They want to be more risk averse.
What do you think their reasoning was, Kipper? What's your opinion on it?
I'm not. He could be right.
Yeah.
But it's like, no. I mean, you are so far beyond one shorthanded situation, feeling like you're vulnerable enough that you got to put a defenseman back there.
And you know,
stick with it.
Stay with it. And if it's not being risk averse, it's not the best power play option. We know now that there's no solution where Morgan runs the power play and it looks like it does when Mitch is up top. And we've talked about Mitch all year long. Mitch can skate backwards. He can defend.
That might be the first time I've seen him beat so cleanly off of a chip off the boards.
And he could have had some help and support there too. So, you know, it's not just him. So the Leafs gave up 7 shorties this regular season in 82 games, which is middle of the pack. You know, they're not, that 5-forward power play didn't give up a ton of shorties. It was a playing not to lose sort of decision to me in that moment.
And Simmer brought it up on the broadcast, and you two will know this well. The 4 minute versus the 2 minute thing, the urgency for the first half of that power play, there was none of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way, like, when they're on.
That's how it looks when Morgan touches it. It slows down.
But then when they were on, I mean, through the first 3 games of this, and even they got a power play goal, didn't they, in the earlier in the game? Did they score a power play goal? Racking my brain. Anyways, their power play has been excellent through 4 games. Like, it just looked so much different. There's no directness. That's not going towards the net.
It threw everybody off.
Nobody knew what to do.
It threw everybody off. I want Mitch up top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And even the break-ins.
Don't want him down low.
Don't look as good to me. It's, yeah. Hey, so that was, they're up 3-0, you know, with a chance to put the series away. Would have liked to see them say, we're really going to try to go for it here and end this thing, but we're on the road. Anyway.
We want to hear from Craig Berube on the Zub hit, or we pass that?
I mean, he says he doesn't like it.
Okay.
Do you want to hear that?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, let's hear him on the power play in overtime, then clip two.
There you go.
Well, no, I mean, we had some looks. We had some good looks. I mean, Matthews hit the post and hit some good looks. Didn't go in. I mean, I'm not going to look at it too much. Didn't get a bounce. Could have ended it. Hit a post. You know, we had a couple other good opportunities. Yeah, I mean, JT's very good on a PP for us, you know, obviously, but we had our looks.
It's his bread and butter right now.
Yeah.
Tavares, yeah. As good as anybody right now.
And
needed him.
Berube's not as familiar with the fact that they had some good looks. That's like the mantra of this team after losing in the playoffs. That's been a thing forever. I will note, just because we don't note this often enough when it happens, John Tavares is their best forward.
Sorry.
In game four. I thought he skated really well. He attacked. He held on to the puck. He was having a really nice night.
Great effort on driving it to the net on the game-tying goal by Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
What a play that ended up being, too. Travis Green weighed in.
Sorry, those highlights.
Yeah, watching Matthews not put that one away in the slot.
Shoot it in.
Can we just...
And hits the knob of the stick on the Oliver Ekman-Larsson wrister.
I appreciate you saying Tavares was the best skater, the best player, but like, that's where you need Austin to carry those words.
No argument.
Okay. And we still see other series where top players hit levels where you're like, your jaw's dropping.
Yeah.
Wow factors.
Yeah.
Just not, hey, good two-way play, good this, good that, but... Come on, not for
you. Watched Leon last night. Draisaitl grabbed the Oilers and willed them across the line.
This guy needs to step up this time now to look. Even if you're not shooting it in the net, you gotta look like you're the best player on the ice.
How about a threat? Like you're a threat.
I mean, the thing is, they have good counting stats the first four games of the season of the series. Like, I think they're both producing, Marner and Matthews are both producing well through four games. So it's a very easy thing to point to for a lot of fans being like, oh, you're just, you know, he's been good. The points have been there. He's playing an elite 200 game. And I'm not saying this to disagree because I totally agree. And to be quite frank, you see those numbers, the 1-12 in elimination games. And I saw like a lot of the same looks that I've seen in years past.
Mm-hmm.
The looks in the faces, the pucks bouncing on them, like you're not shooting it in. Like, I mean, how many times, I know it's hard, I know it's hockey, but like the puck is in the blue paint and you bank it off the post, you miss in overtime on the wrist or on the 2-on-1 with Marner. I recognize some of the looks from Matthews and Marner in game four.
You know, it's I hear you. It's funny. Luke Fox has a tweet today where he says Maple Leafs outscoring Senators 5-0 at even strength and 10-1 in all strengths when Austin Matthews is on the ice in the series. And it's like, I know, but, you know, I know, but like, if you watch that last game, you're like, it's not,
no,
it wasn't there. It wasn't there last game. And we know he has another gear. We know what it looks like when he hits that other gear in one of these games, in one of these moments. You'd like to see him have one of those games. One of those games.
And he has had those games in the playoffs for the Leafs, but it's just not when they have a chance to move on.
Yeah.
Like, it really isn't.
He looks like the hurt version of Matthews, which is often this time of year we're going, is he hurt? And he didn't skate today.
Didn't skate
today.
Something
not right.
Must have hurt his vocal cords after game four, too, because he didn't talk to the media. Anyways. Right.
That's weird.
Okay. Friday, I threw out the thought of Joseph Woll starting.
I did,
people told me I had to get my head examined, including you, Sammy.
Oh, yeah, me too. Maybe 100%.
Sunday, I got a few tweets, just not many, not a ton, that said, yeah, you might have been right.
You know what, though? I'm going to push back on this, because all you did was bring up a conversation, which was, would you? Should you?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever advocated for doing it. Gun to your head, you were starting Stolarz on Saturday night.
You know what? I would have needed a deeper dive into it. Mm-hmm. but I will go back to why I threw it out. And not my theory doesn't look as ridiculous today as it did Friday because they lost. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for the first time, Allmark was better than Stolarz in the series.
Not much.
Not much. Not much, but enough. And the one thing that I did like about the thought of it was that Stolarz is now clearly in an area he hasn't been before. Mm-hmm. He's played 4 games in essentially 8 nights, right?
Yep.
And
I think it was actually 4-7.
If there was one opportunity to get Joseph Woll in on a total strength move, not a ricochet, not a rebound, not our guy stunk, mm-hmm. no goaltending controversy, no nothing. Just get in a goalie that you really believe in, get him a rep in.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario is he loses that game.
And you got a fresher Stolarz for game 5.
And you still got a guy that hasn't lost.
Still has confidence.
Home.
You have no greater advocate or partner in this than me. I am absolutely you can't just run out the same guys because you won. You do what's best to win the next game to position you for the series. Totally on board. If you had rolled out Joseph Woll in that game
and lost,
and he was awful.
Okay. That's the gamble. That's where you just have to say, if we lose, it won't be because of Joseph Woll.
Yeah.
And if you really believe that, then it was a bigger option for you.
Yeah. I think if you and I were on the coaching staff and sat in the office and talked about it long enough, you could have talked me into Woll for sure. But
I
get why 95% of Leafs fans
I'd be on the coach being like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, and you'd have probably been right.
When you think about the week that he's had and the stress and, you know, the intensity and how he's been so good all week, the one thing that I would have guarded is that if he just starts getting a little tired.
So is that mentally, what you saw Saturday?
100%.
But, okay? Kip.
He did not at the end. Yeah. And I get it was a seeing eye shot there that beat him. But I can see his energy and his movements at the end nowhere near as sharp as at the top of his game.
But the one thing they had going for them when making this game 4 decision is multiple days between games before game 5. You knew that if you played him, you were going to have more than the usual 1 day recovery to reset.
It's still a great extra day for Stolarz.
Yeah,
this
for
extra
Matthews.
Day
this is big for the Leafs.
Is big for Stolarz.
Yeah,
Matthews. I don't really know if he's hurt, where he's hurt,
not
why he's
hurt, but he's not. He's the only guy not skating today for rest.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. But
so just to confirm.
Yeah.
Before we continue.
Yeah.
Stolarz game 5.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
100% now.
Okay. Yeah.
The window's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
The window was Saturday night.
Yeah,
it's not game 5 at home.
No.
Okay. That window to rest him or to get Joseph Woll a game in is gone. They missed it.
Yeah. You have one game here before, as you mentioned.
Panic mode.
The squeeze is on. The noise is loud. The media is there. The Sens believe. You got one more crack at it, and then it's, Thunderdome.
Lucky for Leaf fans, they've been excellent in elimination games, so it should be no problem.
But, hey,
I mean, you
run up against it enough times, the old chipping away at the same rock thing, and it cracks. Apparently,
this is uncomfortable. I'm going to be, between now and puck drop Tuesday night, the dark arts that I'm going to be working, the voodoo, the curses, the reverse jinxes, the dark arts are coming.
Sammy's got the Sens at plus 900 to win the series.
I do.
Let's. We haven't done this one, have we? Craig Berube on failing to close it out.
Nope, we have not.
Let's hear from the coach.
Yep. Probably be thinking that maybe they planted a seed of doubt in you guys being up 3-0 and now 3-1, and this team historically, the core of players that have been here have had trouble closing out series. How do you combat, say?
Well, I don't think that was the case tonight. I thought our team played extremely hard, did a lot of great things you know, we gave up four shots in two periods. I mean, I thought we defended hard, played hard, you know. I mean, you got to, you know, bounces go one way or another. I'm not too concerned about it. I thought our team was ready to go. Did a lot of good things tonight. Didn't work out.
Why don't we, he has a one from today as well. There's another Berube clip on what has to change for you to close it out, clip six. Do you want to do that one?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do that.
I don't think a whole lot. I mean, it's there. You know, I think we got to keep doing a lot of the same things we're doing, and we make adjustments game to game. And, you know, I think that we can try to generate more for sure. But at the same time, I think we're doing a lot of good things, and it's a bounce here or there. It's a different game, right? But that's the way it goes. We've got to match desperation level here. You know, it's going to be a hard game. They're a good team. I've said it all along. That's a good hockey team over there. And so we'll be ready to go.
So it's so funny, the two coaches. Like, I listened to Travis Green, who talked for 14 minutes today, and I was able to dig one clip out of it. But he was just like, the Leafs are a good team. They're a great team. They got great players. They're a great team. They're a great team. Berube, they're a good team. They're a great. It's like a, it's a good team off right now. They don't know how.
But they're old school guys too, right?
No bulletin board material.
Bueller.
They're a good team. They're a good team.
Say what you gotta.
Bueller.
So, it's kind of a must win for them.
Oh, no, don't use
the Leafs.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's not a must win.
No. I'll tell you. No. Not literally for the series. I'm talking about everything that they've built up towards. This is different. This is right. To carry the momentum now.
Okay.
It is kind of a must win.
I will say this.
At home to close out a series.
I would be fully confident they could win game six if they lost game five. I would be confident they could win game seven if they lost game six. However,
I think if they lose tomorrow night, it's coming back for game seven.
Of course it is.
I don't. However, I'm emotional.
Damage.
However, if you want to believe that the picture is greater than beating Ottawa in round one, I do think it's a must win. I do think it's like an emotion.
At least we got that idea.
If you want the mindset that, yeah, okay, we gave them one in overtime, but we still are the Leafs. Oh, it's different. We win in five. Bring on the next
win
opponent.
Win 5-1, 5-2, 6-2.
Yeah.
Nail it.
And all of a sudden you're like, okay, let's let these two teams beat each other up. It could be a longer run.
We got a weekend off here. We can chill.
If you come out of this series after 6-7 games with one limb intact, you know, that's why it's must win. You can't be that team.
Yeah, and that's my theory on why I feel like.
It's my theory because if they lose tomorrow, they lose the series.
They have to.
See, that's nonsense.
They need, for so many reasons, including the 1-12, they need tomorrow night at home, shut the door.
You know, and these guys, Mitch, Austin, Willie, for their career-defining narratives, you don't want to be the guys who are like, you don't want the yeah, but after all the great things you did. Yeah, but they couldn't, you know, whatever. Put
you better lock it up. You lock it up.
There's some incentive for them to treat it like a must win. No doubt about that.
Before we go to break, because we're going to get to Yorkie, which is going to be great. Can we just talk about that Matthew Nyes goal?
Oh, my God.
Oof.
Freak.
Freak of nature.
I mean, everything on display that he does well. Power, speed, hands.
Yeah. And the line hasn't been great in terms of moving the puck, making plays.
Extended zone time.
It's just, it's a great individual effort.
Would you break it up, the line?
You know, I'm not that far off of, I'm not shrugging you off like a 0-2 fastball.
Yeah.
Right? I
really?
I'd look at different things. Yeah, I don't see a lot of chemistry out of it.
Oh, look at this goal.
Yeah.
See ya.
I'm not seeing a lot of chemistry right now moving the puck.
Oh.
This time of year, it's so tight that you've got to be able to move the puck.
Little pass.
You know, we'll get into this in our national hour, but watching Edmonton when they are focused.
Oh, my God.
When they are focused, like really dialed in, watch them move the puck.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you don't get that out of the number one line right now out of the Leafs.
No, it's hit and miss for sure. You know, they're certainly capable of it. We see it in stretches.
And last thing, just quickly before we break, Oliver Ekman-Larsson on a positive note.
Yes.
It's a great pass from Willie for the game tying goal, but offensive pedigree still there. hits that one-timer offside down to a knee, hits it hard to get into the net. That's a really nice
play. Good finish. The other thing worth noting, where they gave up four shots in the last two periods, I was hard on the start. Listen, they did lock it down.
Yeah.
This D is going to keep them in enough games to give guys chances to be stars.
With a driving offense.
Yeah.
Right? Between Benoit and OEL.
Yeah.
Like, they're threatening.
He had another moment where he busted up the ice in game four. Like, I'm like, what is this?
He had another cannon too that he unleashed at one point.
It's 91 something on the
feeling it.
Yeah,
it's a threat.
All right,
okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, as Sammy just said, Jason York, co-host of the Coming in Hot Sens podcast, a regular here on the Real Kipper and Bourne show. Up next, we get the Ottawa side. Back when we return after these words.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays, Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, Leaf Hour edition of our program. Toronto Maple Leafs set to host Game 5 at the Scotiabank Arena against the Ottawa Senators. Here to help us tee it up, Jason York, coming in hot after a big win by the Ottawa Senators. New life, baby, new life. Yorkie, how are you, man? Thanks for doing this.
Great, Kipper. I'm good. Yeah, no, it's a sunny day here in Ottawa. I actually went and hit golf balls today for the first time. So, yeah, hopefully for the Sens, they can pull one out. But this series has been so tight, guys. Like, the last, you look at every game, even game one, with the exception of, I thought Ottawa had a really bad first period. They could have went either way. You can make an argument for that. I actually thought the Leafs were the better team last game, and Ottawa wins. Like, it's just, it's been a weird series. It's been very strange.
So what is it? Does it just come down to a seeing eye shot by Sanderson in overtime? Was it the penalty kill? Was it Ullmark being one save better than Stolarz? What was the difference for you?
Hey, Kipper, I think it was goaltending. I think that's the first game that you can honestly say that Ullmark outplayed Stolarz. Because for me, up until then, Ullmark's been okay, but Stolarz has been all world. And last game, probably like a couple of those goals back. But hey, it's the playoffs. And it's all about goaltending. Like, you might as well rename the Stanley Cup playoffs goalie, because that's pretty well every year the team that usually comes out ahead usually has the best goalie. And last game for me, it was goaltending, and I thought Ullmark, that was by far his best game.
How are fans feeling now? How are they enjoying this? It's been a bit of a wait to get back into it here, and it's the Leafs, and suddenly this thing feels like, okay, you got one, start chipping away, you win another, go back to Ottawa. How's the mood around Ottawa?
Oh, Barney, they were fired up here in Ottawa. There's somebody posted a couple videos of people leaving the rink and people dressed up in like the Senators' suits of armor and stuff. Like, that was nuts. Like, I think you look at around the league, like look at Montreal and Winnipeg and every single rink. I don't think the game's ever been in a better place than it is right now. The excitement, like Montreal is like a soccer crowd there. It's nuts.
It is amazing.
It's crazy. Ottawa, people were saying it might have been the loudest they've ever heard that rink. And I might have to agree. I was there, albeit I was up in the press box, but still it was good. The last thing people wanted to see here, because it's been a great year for Ottawa. They made the playoffs. That was their mission. If it would have been any other team but the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think fans would say, hey, you know what? It's been a great season. They, even if they would have lost last game, because it's Toronto, people don't want to go down to the Leafs, especially four straight. So people were in a great mood. That people were fired up. It's been a long time coming. And we'll see, like, where they're going back to Toronto. And that's been the analogy with this group. Like, the guys around the room today were saying, hey, just win another game. Don't worry about winning seven games. Just it's all those old boring quotes we all hate in the media, but that's the way it is, right? Just go and try and win a game five and live to fight another day. That's what they're going to live by right now.
You are watching and listening to Jason York, former National Hockey Leaguer, co-host of the Coming in Hot Sens podcast. So, Yorkie, the Senators have two $8 million defensemen in Shabbat and Sanderson. The Leafs don't have even one. But late in the Saturday night, you could sit there and go, the Leaf blue line's outperforming or outplaying maybe the Ottawa blue line. And then Sanderson scores the game-winning goal. And what do you think that does not only to the blue line for Ottawa, but maybe even Sanderson with confidence or momentum coming into a game five in Toronto?
Yeah, it's funny, eh? The playoffs, Kipper, like Simon Benoit. Like,
yeah.
You talk about all the defensemen on that team, and it's Simon Benoit that's been a part of two overtime wins. The seeing eye shot, but that's the playoffs. It reminded me of Corey Cross when I was playing for the Sens and I lost to Toronto. Crosser scores a goal, but that's the playoffs, right? And, you know, for Sanderson, he's a young guy. We all saw him at the Four Nations. He's, I think, Borny, I know you're a big fan. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to turn into one of the elite defensemen in the league. He's close now. But this shot, this has been something I've been noticing a lot in the series, something that Toronto has done a better job of Ottawa's defense, just getting shots through and shooting it quick. Ottawa now is getting their shots through quicker. And look at that goal. It's just get it through, because it seems against Toronto, if you wait and wait, they stack the box and they've got four guys in there, sometimes five.
And it never reaches the net.
It never. And like, I've been watching the missed shots in this series, and Ottawa's defense up until this point have not done a good job compared to Toronto. You got to shoot it quick. And I think Ottawa's now, they've learned something here. Get it, fire it, net front. Ugly goals. You're not going to get – Kipper, you play in the playoffs a lot when you won a Stanley Cup. How many times do you see a beautiful goal? It's dirty goals all the time. And what's amazed me with Toronto, they've totally changed their style since the Sheldon Keefe days. Like, I think they set a record for dump-ins in game one, the first 10 minutes. I'm like, is this the Toronto Maple Leafs? Dump, chase, hit, block shots, no turnovers. It's a winning recipe. Like, I've been impressed with how they've played. So I give Craig Berube a lot of props.
Yorkie, you know, you mentioned that maybe the Sens D have learned to just kind of fire some pucks through here. What else have you learned about the Senators? What other players, you know, you haven't seen Batherson, Stützle, Tkachuk. You haven't seen these guys in playoff hockey yet. Is there anything so far that you're like, they've been better or worse than what I expected to see?
He doesn't have the points, Borny, but I've been impressed with Stützle's compete level.
Yeah.
Like, he's playing 200 feet, he's skating, he's hitting. Like, I think, like, if you look at this center ice position for the Senators, that to me, that's the biggest difference between these two teams. You look at the experience of Matthews, Domi's got experience, Lawton's got experience, Tavares has experience. Then look at Ottawa. Stützle, first playoffs. Pinto, first playoffs. Cousins, first playoffs. So they're learning on the job here right now. And I think every game they get is just an opportunity for these guys to learn what it takes to win in the playoffs. And what I've learned is Stützle's a competitor. I've been impressed with him. I know Batherson had the mishap, the pizza, and then a little bit of a flyby in that one game. But he's been really good, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been impressed with his game. Been impressed with Sanderson. And you know who else I can't leave out? And I'm not surprised, Borny. I saw your tweet the other night. I love Amadio. I just think this guy is such a smart player. I didn't know a lot about him before he came here, but really impressed with his game.
So, Yorkie, if we take Stützle out and Brady Tkachuk, I think Ottawa fans would have no issues right now with what they've been able to give so far in this series. But yeah. Who is the one name that you can think of up front anyways that you say Ottawa cannot win game five unless this guy steps up?
So we're taking Tkachuk out?
Yeah, we're taking Tkachuk out.
Well, I think a guy that's been quiet.
He's stalling.
I'm not stalling. I was talking about this. I was out with my buddies the other night. We were sitting around having a couple old fashions talking about this exact point. When you saw Dylan Cousins when he came over and the immediate impact he had on this team, how well he played, he really drove that second line. I think Dylan Cousins needs to have a night Like, he's been relatively quiet so far in this series. He's a big body. He's got offense. I think if he could have his best game tonight, that would be my guy. Just because I talked about the experience down the middle, and they're learning on the job, but it would, from a Senator's perspective, he's the guy I'm looking at, because he can, he's got the ability, he's got the size, and he's a 200-foot player.
You know, watching Clevin and Montempolo, like, they might have something in these guys. Like, you know, it's not like they've been spectacular, but they can hang, they're physical, they're competitive. Like, there's...
Not to, like, take away, but, like, his play on the game-winning goal, driving on the off wing was huge. Getting the puck to the net and forcing it up was a great play by that guy.
Yeah.
He, you know, Travis Green was asked about him. My buddy AJ Jakubek made a point to ask about him after the game in the scrum, and I probably left him out, Bonnie, and I forgot about it. There's been some guys in the series. I think Clevin's played his best hockey of the season. Mm-hmm. And I talked about some of those forwards learning on the job. Clevin's got better and better every game. And if you look at the Ottawa Senators' top four blue line, they're all good puck movers. They've all got some skill. But the one thing they're lacking with that top four, when you think of Zub, you think of Shabbat, Sanderson, and Jensen, you're missing that big body. And Clevin, to me, he'll eventually be a top four. And what he's getting right now in experience is helping him a ton. I agree, Kipper. He made that goal. Like, it was a nice pass to Batherson, but Clevin, like a lot of guys, I bet you the Leafs were probably expecting to dump it in, but he kept going. Even almost fooled Solars on that backhand, like short side. But he's had a great series. And watch for him in the future, guys. He's going to be a top four defenseman sooner than later.
Just in terms of looking for guys' impact, is Brady Tkachuk healthy? Like, he's been good, but I kind of thought that compared to, you know, Four Nations Brady, I thought we'd see maybe more Brady Tkachuk-ness. And maybe it's coming.
I think he's banged up, Borny. I think he's playing well. He's playing hard. But when I watch him, there's just something off, and he's not going to admit it. A lot of guys are playing hurt right now, but to me, absolutely. It's ever since the Four Nations, I think he took some time off, but then the team went through a little bit of a losing skid, and I think he came back a little early, and it's so tough to recover, but he's gotten it out and scored the one big goal, the one game to get it to overtime. But yeah, for sure. He's banged up. Jensen has missed time. Ridley Gregg missed practice today. He's another guy that banged up. Everyone's banged up at this time of year, but those three guys in particular, I think are dealing a little bit more than people realize.
I got to ask you about Allmark. I know we touched on it briefly here, but is his series now through four games kind of mirrored his regular season, where there's been peaks and valleys, and then sometimes you just... He's the box of chocolates, man. And Forrest Gump, man, you don't know what you're going to get, really.
Oh, I love a good Gump reference, Kipper. Why did you assemble that rifle so quickly? Oh, my God. It's got the best quotes. I didn't like his first period in game one. I just thought... If you could look at the four games so far, I think he's been fine since then. Yeah. I think he's been good. But like we were talking about earlier, Stolarz has been all world. And to me, that's been the difference. And like, we can't forget about Toronto's power play. It's been ungodly. Mm-hmm. Like it's like Mark Savard's done a great job with that unit. When that went to the 4-minute power play last game, poor Drake Batherson, the look on his face going to the box. He's like, what have I done?
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, has he played to his potential as far as Allmark? No, like, and I agree. Like, his season, when he's on, Kipper, he's one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
But when he's not, you're going to see a few goals that you'd like back. But he hasn't played poorly, but he hasn't been the reason that this team has been able to maybe win a couple of those overtime games. And that's the margins. The margins are so tight in the playoffs. And look around. It's always the same story. And Stolarz has been, what are you, 11 in a row he had won up until last game? It's crazy numbers.
It's a great run.
But that's hockey, right? The guy that's the hottest, usually that team's going to win.
We're looking forward to game five, Yorkie, and always a pleasure talking to you on our show, pal.
Hey, I love the Gump reference, Skipper, anytime.
Thanks, Yorkie. Appreciate it.
See you, all guys. Right, pal.
Jason York, everybody. The Klevin move mm-hmm. coming off the wing was great. A couple things I didn't like it from a Leaf perspective is that back pressure from Willie Nylander. I'm sorry, but don't quit on it. Mm-hmm. You quit, and then you bought Klevin enough time, but if you would have forced it a little bit more into Morgan, he may have been able to cut it off before it got to the net.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an issue, too, sometimes with Morgan. They're giving up a little bit too much room.
Too much.
I thought he gave too much room to Klevin, but I thought Willie could have helped Morgan out, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was talking about Ullmark and like the, you know, Green talked about him a little bit today, saying that he's gotten better as the series gone on. I didn't think he was great on Saturday at all. I thought that was one of the more shaky 31 save performances you're ever going to see.
Looking behind him. The one from McMahon that's under his toe cap, what is he doing in
there? Domi lets a soft wrister go from the outside hash marks, and it almost gets under his arm and goes in. The knob of the stick that it hits off, and he doesn't even see it before. Like, he has the ability to make some – I mean, the one that we showed there is a goal if it isn't for – was it Montempolo or was it Klevin that knocks it in the mare? That's 100% in the net if he's not standing there.
Would have been nice for Patches to shoot that.
I do feel like if there's one thing that gives me great hope that they aren't going to completely ruin my life here is that I don't think
– He can get the job done.
I don't think he can get the job done. I don't think he's been very good at all, and I don't think he was particularly good Saturday night. He just was better than Stolarz, who wasn't very good at all. So
the Leafs D is really good.
Yeah.
The Senators offense is average.
Yeah.
Their goaltending is not great.
Yep.
There are going to be chances to win this series.
The shorthanded goal – leaky, not a Stolarz look season long.
No, you're right. Where it just kind of squeaks through him
kinda
and finds a way.
Through.
Yeah.
We didn't actually see the puck go in off the initial rush.
It's a breakaway, but if you get that much of it, you'd like it to stay out.
Yeah, no question, but it's a breakaway he stopped on many occasions year.
No fakes.
No just, fake, just no nothing. Straight. Ice. It's like a shovel. He shoveled it through him.
I'm no goalie expert. I'm no Steve Alliquette, but my theory on it was that the stick lift kind of changed the speed on it. He was expecting it to be a little bit harder, and it kind of squeezed through him. I mean, that's the best I got, but you'd like a save.
Yeah.
You'd like a save.
Well, if you don't think you're a goalie expert,
I'm not.
Now, wait in our national show when I start asking you about Freddie Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be an expert.
You don't have to. You also don't have to talk about Freddie because he's not going to play again.
No, he's not going to play.
Yeah.
He's not good. Play.
That's pretty much that.
So we've got. Go ahead.
Lineup change. What do you think? They got Robertson in the stands. He's been a mainstay all season long. David Kampf, mainstay all season long. Pacioretty didn't do enough for me in Game 4 to stay in. You're gone.
Agree.
I would think about Nick Robertson coming back in.
The only
just to drive up a little bit more of a speed threat.
Yeah. They, being Craig Berube, loves his Lawton, Lorenz,
mm-hmm.
Yarncroc line. They play more than the Domi line consistently now. So tough to see him pulling anyone off of that. I thought maybe Yarncroc for Kampf, but he just really likes that line.
Yeah, I don't see Kampf coming in. I probably see him in game 6.
Yeah.
Then at home at 5.
In game 6, Sam.
Sorry. If
there's a game 6.
No, you didn't say that.
I didn't say.
You said in game 6.
When there's a game 6.
You have to test the scratch and score theory, in my opinion. You have to put Nick Robertson back in. You have to.
It's going to happen. He's going to shoot it in.
The theory is too good.
It's ironclad.
You must press. Press, press, press.
We didn't even talk about Montreal and Washington.
Why would we? It's the Leafs hour.
No, but we will on the National Hour. Alan May, Capitals analyst, will join us. Talk a little Tommy Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
And the hit that shook the hockey world. Back after these words, we go national. Don't go away.